This is the Nightcap with Tim Murray and Super Bowl champion Sean King on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It is the Nightcap, hour number two of the Nightcap here on VSiN, as Sean is laughing at me. What? What are you laughing about?
Nothing, man. You're just the gift that keeps on giving.
I mean, I got 35-year-old Brad Davison. I don't know what he's doing over there for Wisconsin. It's never easy.
He does look old.
Laid two with the Badgers. They were just up 10, and now they're up 4. It's never easy. Speaking of which, it would have been easy to go with Florida State, apparently, catching 5 at home. But, you know, synergy on this show, I would never dare go against my
smart man.
My partner's Dookie Blue Devils.
I get violent about my Dookies.
But Florida State looking to hand Duke their second ACC loss. And hopefully Wisconsin doesn't blow this cover. Probably will. All right, let's get to Patrick Everson, though. Always great to have him join us. A lot going on. A busy weekend that was, and a busy weekend ahead. Real quickly, let's just sum it up real quickly because I want to get into more of the nuts and bolts of this upcoming weekend, Patrick. But overall, the weekend for the books, wild card weekend, my guess is not great.
Not great. I think it was a loss. I don't think they were able to get it to quite a wash. But I can tell you that that 49ers game made a huge, huge difference to most of the operators I spoke with. Leading into that game, it really, you know, as Tampa Bay was beating up on the Eagles, I was getting messages from multiple operators saying, we're going to need San Francisco. One BetMGM, Jason Scott, said, we need San Francisco outright at this point, or we're just going to get clobbered, because everything was running through Dallas into Kansas City. So, and another operator said, look, we don't need them outright, but we need the 49ers to cover for sure. At the very least, you know, and Chris Andrews down at the South Point, he said, you know, a dream situation would have been the Cowboys by 1 or 2, but he said short of that, it would be better off having the 49ers win that game. So that was really critical to keeping this from being a real bloodletting of a weekend. You don't need 16 games on the schedule, especially in the playoffs where interest is really ramped up, for everybody to be playing parlays and moneyline parlays and teasers, and for this liability to mount huge. And it would have been monster liability Sunday night if the Cowboys had won that game. Even if they had won, I think it would have been pretty good. Even if they only won by that 1 or 2 and you've got all the moneyline parlays running into Kansas City, I think it would have been fascinating. So I think the books will take it. I think they were glad to get at least one underdog winning outright was pretty key.
Well, Patrick, the good thing was it was never in doubt. It was San Francisco.
Yeah,
no way. I mean, they were playing Dallas. You knew Dallas would find a way to fail, even though they got back into contention.
Well, Jimmy G does his best right, of handing things over to teams, too.
So let me ask you a question. The line sits now, I think, Green Bay 5.5 most places. How important is Jimmy Garoppolo? If he can't go, and it's Trey Lance, what is that, a half a point? Is that a point? You know, what will that do to the line?
That's a really good question. I'm not very good, you know, when you're talking about somebody like Garoppolo at ascertaining his value to the spread, but I think you're going to get to 7 and maybe more. And that's probably part of what's going on right now with this line being at you know, several shops are at 6 right now. That may be part of the move. But what I thought was fascinating about this game is kind of how this evolved in the matter of about, I don't know, 30, 40 minutes on Sunday night when the opening lines finally started to drip out. I was going back and forth on text messages with 3 or 4 different odds makers. Zachary Lucas, or 3 or 4 different books. Zachary Lucas, trading analyst at TwinSpires, they went up at 5.5, and he said, we got sharp San Francisco money right away. We're at 5. I'm like, oh, well, that's interesting. And so I tweeted that out. And then I saw that Caesars/William Hill, it's still sort of William Hill here. It's at least if I bet it here, it's through the William Hill app. I saw they went up at 4.5, and I knew TwinSpires had already come down to 5. And I'm like, oh, that's kind of intriguing, because I kind of like the Packers at 4.5 at home in, you know, at Lambeau with Aaron Rodgers. But I didn't bet it. I just thought, that's kind of interesting. I need to keep an eye on that. And like a couple of minutes later, Superbook comes back at 5.5. And I'm like, okay, if Superbook's at 5.5, I don't think that 4.5 is going to last. So I immediately jump back into my William Hill app, and it's gone. It's fine. So I just went ahead and bet the Pack. I just bet the Packers 5 right there.
Mm-hmm.
I know 5 is a weird number. It's a wonky number. I may not be getting any value or anything, but look, it's 6 now at most places. And if somehow this issue with Garoppolo limits him at all, or worse, keeps him out, it ain't going to be 6 at the end of the week. And the 5 hopefully will look good. I would have rather had the 4.5, but when I saw Superbook at 5.5, knowing what the other books have done, I was like, I don't think this is going down. I don't think this is going to get back to 4.5 anyway. So I took the 5, or laid the 5, and move on. But it was kind of fascinating how the books were kind of jockeying a little bit with the number, and how fast the reaction time is. It's kind of neat to watch.
Talking to our good friend Patrick Everson, covers props.com. I didn't say it. props.com.
It's okay, man. It's okay. I owe those people a great deal of credit. Love them all.
At Patrick E_Vegas on Twitter. I want to get to the nightcap on Sunday. And we've seen some movement towards the dog here. Kansas City here at Circa, only a 1.5-point favorite, as that has continued to drop two in other spots in town. What has been the report and action so far on Buffalo, Kansas City?
Yeah, this was another interesting one that I discussed with John Murray at the Superbook on Sunday night as this line posted. And I think a lot of people thought it would be KC3 just because they're at home and they've been the two-time defending AFC champions. But what John said was on Sunday night, we don't think the Chiefs should be giving the full field goal here. The Bills manhandled them in the first meeting. But then he added this. He said, more importantly, we remember how the Sharp K's guys bet that game. And we're talking about week 5, Bills at Chiefs. He said, we remember how the Sharp guys bet that game, all Buffalo. He said, we saw a lot of respected players take the Bills on Saturday night against the Patriots, and we felt confident they would take +3 if we put it up, so they didn't. They put the Bills +2.5, and they went to 2 real quickly. And as you noted, Tim, Circa did likewise, and Circa's down to 1.5. Superbook is still at 2, but hasn't moved off that at all, and I just think it's interesting. If I had to guess, I would feel like the public will come in on Kansas City enough to push this back up to 3, I would think.
Really?
But the fact that Circa is a 1, well, I would, look, talking, just thinking from a sheer public betting perspective, I would think, but then I was going to give the caveat here. If Circa's at 1.5 now, and Superbook hasn't moved at all off of 2 after initially opening 2.5 and going to 2, maybe not. I mean, you might have seen the best number you're going to get on the Bills, and last impressions certainly matter too. And obviously, Kansas City beat the hell out of Pittsburgh, but everybody expected that.
Mm-hmm.
Buffalo really looked impressive. What was it? Seven drives, 7 touchdowns.
That was spectacular.
I mean, it was insane. So yeah, it was really good. So I don't have a good feel, but maybe you've gotten maybe that 2.5 that was out there. Maybe that ends up being the best number you get on Buffalo. I don't know.
Talking to our good friend Patrick Everson at Patrick E_Vegas. Patrick, we got a couple minutes left. Let's try to run through these other two games. Cincy and Tennessee.
Sure.
This game opened. There was a rogue 2.5, and it was gone. I think it actually got to 2 for like a second, and then gone. And now it's at 4, 3.5, depending on where you look. So has it been a steady stream of Tennessee money in this early game?
Yeah, I think that's a safe way to put it, and I'm just checking through some of the other books as they are updating their numbers here. But when I talked about this with John Murray on Sunday night, I would guess they're not too thrilled they've gone this way, but he said that he felt 2.5 was the right spot. He said, we saw the market open a little higher, but we don't agree, so they opened 2.5. But they got to 3.5 in a hurry. And as you said, I think there's some 4s hanging out there now. And in fact, the Superbook is up 4 as well on this game. He said some of their guys in the risk room at Superbook were closer to Titans field Titans pick than field goal. So But he noted the Bengals are a hot team right now. He said they should get some public support, and he said they got a ton of public support Saturday against the Raiders.
And then before we wrap things up, so we got about 90 seconds,
sure.
Rams and Tampa, both of these teams, you know, Tampa, as Sean said, it was JV versus varsity on this one.
Yeah, a light warm-up game.
But the Rams looked as dominant as ever, and you're looking at an offensive line that's a little bit banged up there for the Bucs. I know Sean's worried about that. Right now, you could get a 2.5 if you like Tampa Bay, but it's getting to 3 here in some other spots. So what's the early action on Tampa and L.A.?
Right, and the Superbook right now sitting at 3 even money, and to your point, a few others at 3, minus 05, 3 even. So, again, this is one that obviously didn't go up to last night. I was talking with Neil Fitzroy, also at the Superbook, one of the risk managers over there. And really, and this was shortly after last night's game. He said, we opened Bucks minus 2.5, minus 110. And he said, it's been one-way Bucks traffic so far. So they adjusted the juice last night and then came back this morning or today and went to 3. And to your point, Tim, he said, both teams impressive wildcard wins, but the Bucks have lost a couple important offensive weapons. He said, as long as Brady is under center, though, it's tough to count them out. They expect solid two-way after the number settles in, and perhaps it does settle in at 3.
Check out the website. It is props.com. Great info, as always. Patrick E _ Vegas on Twitter. Patrick, as always, we appreciate it, and enjoy the weekend.
I will certainly do so, and you guys have a great week. Thank you very much for having me on.
You too, boss.
Always a pleasure having Patrick Everson on the show. Got some questions about that matchup with the Bucks next right here on the Nightcap.
This is the Nightcap on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com to check out our current betting splits data. This new feature gives you insights on where the money and bets are moving for every game. You'll be able to see where the public is betting based on the number of tickets and where the money doesn't match the public opinion. Data is available for Moneyline, over-under, and against the spread bets. Betting splits, just another way. VSiN is here to make you a smarter, better year-round. Check out today's betting splits for every game on VSiN.com. Also, I've been noticing it's a pretty cool feature here on the show. That's Sean King, the gentleman and a scholar. Got some betting splits here on the side here, and Sean is geeked up because he's got his Duke Blue Devils making a little comeback here.
Hey, that's a foul, ref.
Down in Tallahassee.
Okay. Buckets, yes!
All tied up. 65.
There we go, tied up.
All.
Minute left. Let's go, baby. Touch the floor. Duke defense time.
This game went off 5.5.
Oh, my God. This is sacrilegious.
Well, they've been playing zone. That's what's led to their comeback here. So it's been a nice, nice comeback here for the Dukies.
That is a terrible shot.
Florida State is...
All right, Duke has the ball. Tie ball game. 47 seconds to go. Ball goes to the wing. Bonchero holds the ball at the top.
We don't need to do play-by-play. I think that's actually illegal to do.
Time out.
Exact play-by-play.
Duke. Just a little snippet.
65 all right now between Duke and Florida State. And I think I speak for a lot of people who have Florida State plus 5.5 tickets, no overtime.
By the way,
end this game now. I don't have either.
Puck Shadamas picked the Flames to beat the Panthers tonight. It's currently 5-1. Not over. I learned my lesson yesterday with the Knights, who are up 3-0 and decided to lay all the way down.
Overall, for your boy. On the college hoop front today, VCU, they decided to just crumble.
You should just roll with me, to be honest.
In what? In puck? In
yeah,
hockey?
Just well, copy my puck, my NHL plays. Yeah,
it'd be nice if you let me know.
Well, I mean, you get up here every day. I talked to Jim Root today, and I talked to Jared, and I talked to such and such.
I didn't talk to Jared.
You don't text me. What are your plays today?
Sean talked to Jared today. And,
no, I'd follow him on Twitter, and I saw him post it.
And you played a soccer match.
I was bored. It was early. I went to this great – I finally found grits in Henderson, Nevada. Went to this great restaurant. I'm not going to say their name because they aren't you know, compensating the network yet, but I finally found grits this morning. I've been looking for someone that you has
ate
grits.
You ate some good grits. You say, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go bet some soccer.
Well, here's what happened. I presumed that there would be college basketball on, but Baylor didn't come on to 2.
There you
it
go.
Was a little bit earlier.
Duke up 2.
Yes, they are. I wanted to go to a cigar lounge and have me a morning stick. And so it's like, oh, Chelsea's playing Premier League. Huh. Who do I know that knows soccer? Well, won't do that again.
You get mad at me for betting college basketball.
First of
I watch
all,
college basketball.
I dipped my toe in the water, and now I'm completely removing
You've
myself.
Cleansed yourself?
Yes, yes.
It's been your cleanse?
You drown 5 times and still come back to life and
I
jump in the same pool again. That's what I'm saying.
But I love college basketball.
It doesn't love you back, though.
I'm gonna fight my way out of this hole.
Love is a two-way thing.
I'm in a big hole. I got to fight my way out of this bad boy. But tonight, it was Wisconsin came home. That was nice. VCU did me dirty. Iona, I took on the money line. They went in overtime. But the Bonnies, got smoked by Dayton. So a 2-2 day, lost a little bit on the juice. So what are you going to do? But, man, nice comeback for the Dukies here.
You should take a break.
Nah.
It doesn't love you back.
I'll be back at it.
I'm telling you, man, when that thing is one way, they have other words for it. Crazy, deranged, jail.
But what happened last? By the way, we just changed the Duke game on the
Carlos Alcaraz and Dusan Ljubicic are now on the TV instead of it's up top.
Yeah, the Duke game up there.
I can't hide like where I'm looking at when you put it up top, guys.
So 12 to, by the way, final seconds here. We'll just play it out. Duke and Florida State. If you add Duke, Florida State plus 5.5, you're hoping they shoot a 3. Duke
and hoping they miss
back to man to man.
Give me that.
And
Oh boy. Well, that's good. Overtime is where what?
Oh, boy.
Dogs go to die. Oh, that's a foul, ref.
Half-court shot, and we're going to overtime. And all of those people who had Florida State plus 5.5, it's the right side the entire night. And now you're...
Why do they play the game? They play the whole game, right? If that includes overtime, it's overtime. I mean, it's the right side. You can cash the ticket. Let's go, Duke. Win this by 10.
You played 40 minutes. You took a plus 5.5 bet, and the game is tied.
I know exactly what you're saying.
You are on the right side. All right, enough of college basketball. We'll get you an updated line here in just a moment on this game. We'll pull that up. But you mentioned Tristan Wirfs and the concerns there for the left tackle of the Bucks. Also, Ryan Jensen, the center, dealing with a foot injury. Bruce Arians said they likely won't practice until Friday. Going up against Aaron Donald and company, as they looked as dominant as ever up front, how worried does that make you about the Bucs' offense if Wirfs and or Jensen aren't 100% or maybe don't even play?
Well, I mean... If San Francisco loses Trent Williams or...
I know, that's what I'm saying, but they
Green
have
Bay
them.
Without Bakhtiari. I mean,
well, they had him without...
you find ways to win when you're an elite team, but
the difference
it's
is
not the most beneficial for you.
Green
especially
Bay.
Especially when you're playing a team like the Rams. If it was the Eagles game, it's not as big a deal. But the Rams, listen, it's 31.5 sacks this season between Von Miller, Leonard Floyd, and Aaron Donald. So they have 3 guys. I think Von Miller and Leonard Floyd have 9.5 each, and I think Donald's at 12.5, if I'm not mistaken. So, I mean, of course, and you got an all-pro, first-team all-pro lineman, you want him healthy. You have a center that knows Brady's cadence, understands his checks, you know, because a lot of times Brady goes right down to 1 second left on the play clock as he's changing plays, you know, adjusting protection. So that comfort level that exists with Jensen is significant. Having said that, all year Tampa's been dealing with injuries, and they just keep finding a way to win. I love that the game is in Tampa. I do think the humidity will affect the Rams on certain levels. But again, I don't feel comfortable yet either way. I mean, you think there's no Fournette, there's no Ronald Jones, no Chris Godwin, no Antonio Brown, potentially no Tristan Wirfs. I'm telling you, Levante David was running around, but he looks hurt.
By the way, the
and Tampa's still favored.
Yeah, still favored.
So just think about if you,
a field goal.
So the Rams are missing Robert Woods. Think about if you also took away Cooper Kupp.
Oh, yeah.
The left tackle. And one of their linebackers, or their best linebacker is. I mean, Tampa would be favored by 7 points.
Mm-hmm.
Tampa's missing all those guys and still favored.
Yeah, three. It's down to 2.5. So, once again, if you like Tampa,
and the Rams beat them pretty good. Although Brady threw for 400 in week three, the Rams beat them pretty good.
Well, the interesting thing was, Sean, that Stafford threw for
three something. 342, I think.
And four touchdowns in their first meeting. However, in this past weekend, he wasn't asked to do much. He only threw 17 passes.
Well, varsity versus JV.
No, I understand that. Yeah. Just a quick update. We're about a minute and a half into overtime. Florida State leading 70-69. Your live line right now is Florida State minus 135 on the money line, Duke plus 105 on the buyback at DraftKings. This was an interesting stat they just flashed up on the broadcast. Florida State has won a Division I best 12 consecutive overtime games.
Well, it ends tonight.
All right, there you go.
Yeah. So that plus 105 is Gucci. So,
now it's minus 105.
Yeah. They know. They hear us talking.
Well, it's funny. Florida State opens overtime with a 3, and it immediately goes Florida State minus 220, Duke plus 170. I would have loved to grab Duke at plus 170. And honestly, if you are able to on DraftKings sit here in overtime, I feel like you have a good opportunity to potentially get plus money on both sides.
Yeah.
But
Taylor, Nikki Patz, Aaron, I know you guys have those apps, man. Listen, everything you got on your account, put it on Duke Moneyline. If it doesn't come through, you can always add more money. This is a great chance to double up.
The worst advice ever. It's almost as bad as randomly taking a soccer game.
You're getting
in the morning.
Duke plus money right now? Come on, we're going to win this game. That's a foul, ref.
As Paolo Boncaro gets his stuff thrown.
Oh, gosh. I've never seen Jeremy put on like, oh, God.
Sean talking like you should be a play-by-play broadcaster for Duke. You'd be tremendous.
Oh, no. I have to change my whole tune.
Yeah. Duke has taken the lead. 71-70.
I know how to keep
under
a job.
Under 3 minutes to go in this one. And the number one team in the land, or number six team in the land, on the ropes, but nice comeback. They were down. Are they down double figures?
Oh, that's a brick.
What are we doing here? Oh, man. We just need a Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
The good thing about that, you can go in-game bet it again because now Duke's probably plus money. So, again, Nikki Patz, Taylor, Aaron, hit Duke money line right quick.
Nope, they're going to hit a 3 here. Bang, bang.
Boom!
74-72, Duke with 2:16 to go. We'll get you updated on that. A little more divisional round talk, too. It is the nightcap here on VSiN.
This is the nightcap on VSiN, the sports betting network.
If you've missed any part of our show, it's been good, just saying. Or anything else on the VSiN schedule, don't forget you can check out our free sports betting podcasts. Catch replays of all our shows, download and listen on your schedule. Go to VSiN.com/podcast. You'll get Beating the Book with Gil Alexander, Market Insights with Josh Applebaum. We've got Hardwood Handicappers, The Lombardi Line, Follow the Money, My Guys in the Desert, Coast to Coast Hoops, and many more. They're all free, folks. Available now. VSiN.com/podcast or wherever you get your podcasts. 36 seconds and rolling left in Tallahassee, Florida. 78-77. The Blue Devils leading by 1 point.
I do like the fact that Banchero made both of his free throws. That's the trait of great players. In the clutch, down the stretch, wanting the ball to get to the free throw line, but then coming through.
I'm a great free throw shooter.
You got to be in the game to get fouled. How do you even know? You talking about practice?
Man, you're mean. You're mean.
Joking. It was right there. I mean.
No. Well, I was joking because I actually own a record at my college for the single season worst free throw percentage in school history. 25% my junior year.
What did you, 1 of 4?
8 for 31.
Wow.
Pretty good. And I had a game where I went 4 for 4. So really, I was 4 for 27 in 24 games.
What was that, double dribble where the rim used to move? You had to like match it up.
You know what's interesting, real quickly, and I think we're going to have Jim Root on tomorrow. And I want to ask him and other college basketball folks, because right now, as the final seconds are rolling down, we'll keep you updated, Duke and Florida State. Utah State's up on Fresno State 19-8 early on in that game. Fresno State was a 3.5-point favorite. It's interesting to note that a lot of these venues in California are no longer allowing fans.
Yeah, Super Bowl going to be in Dallas.
And you saw, a block was just called on the Dukies.
That was. It was a terrible defensive play. By guess who? Roach.
So you look at over the weekend, you know, we had last week when I did my stupid five-leg parlay, almost as dumb as you betting soccer. UCLA.
What a mean thing to say.
Lost to Oregon. No fans. And Mick Cronin, by the way, had some interesting comments today about that. And then USC, also without fans, lost to Oregon as well. So something to keep an eye on if you're maybe getting a little bit of extra value, because everywhere else, as of right now, has fans except for portions of California. 79-78, Florida State
regains the lead. This is your last chance to empty out the online account on Duke to win the game. I'm telling you, they're about to make this shot. What is it now? Somebody tell me. What is it? Plus what?
They haven't updated it yet at DraftKings. I'm refreshing as we go. Last check, it was minus. It was still minus 135.
No, it's plus something now.
I understand. I'm looking at the screen in front of me. And
buckets.
Jeez.
Oh, he got filed, ref.
My ear. Florida State has won.
I told you guys not to bet this game.
Terrible advice, Sean King. I should have cigar betted him. I was thinking about it. It was on the tip of my tongue, and I didn't do it.
I didn't know the refs were going to cheat. I mean, he obviously got fouled at the end. I mean, come on.
Florida State.
They should give you a refund when that happens. Look at it. We still make teams rush the floor when they beat us.
Oh, I think like 97% of the games that Duke loses, they rush the floor. So Florida State has beaten Duke tonight. Duke.
Can I just make an overall...
You can say whatever you want.
Evaluation. And this is one of my pet peeves with Coach K. And this is where me and him, you know, I fall out with him over this. You know, we had a team that had R.J. Barrett and Zion Williamson on it. And for some reason, at the end of every game, he gave the ball to R.J. Barrett. And Zion Williamson is sitting on the wing doing nothing. And R.J. Barrett, I don't think, made a shot.
Cam Reddish, too.
Yeah, Cam was opting out half the time. Tonight, we have the potential number one pick in the NBA draft in Paolo Banchero. And Wendell Moore is at the top of the key going one-on-one. Like, I don't get Coach K's reasoning at the end of these games.
I was
like, give the ball to Banchero. If we lose with him, fine. I'm cool with that. Jeez, it's the reason Wendell Moore has been in college for 3 years. Golly.
I was at the Duke Michigan State Elite Eight game in Washington, D.C., and it was unbelievable to watch it just melt right there. R.J. Barrett was throwing things off of the backboard, the side of the backboard, and Zion Williamson is the most unstoppable college basketball player we've seen in quite some time.
I almost filed for divorce after that game. I got literally almost quit Duke. I'm for real. I had seen Coach K do this. And I'd seen R.J. Barrett do this. This was not the first time. He did this multiple times at the end of games. Zion Williamson would be on his way to a triple-double, and for some reason, R.J. Barrett has the ball at the top of the key. And I turned my TV off, and I said, God, I don't want to make a rash emotional decision right now, so I'm going to sleep on this. But I almost broke up with Duke. It's a 30-year relationship. Almost ended.
I feel bad for you. My condolences.
We got the number one pick in the draft standing on the side, and Wendell Moore, a 3-year college player, is going one-on-one at the top of the key. And Coach K just over there, hands in his pockets, toupee in place.
That's not toupee. It's just a very, very
got good jeans.
Well-dyed hair there. Yeah. So, shout out to
and I'm just frustrated.
Shout out to Russell.
Because that was a winnable game.
On Twitter. Great call, and hopefully it went money line.
Jeez.
On that. I mean, that would have been a little bit of a sweat, but great call there as Russell, loyal listener to the program, said, I'm rolling with the fade of Duke and UNC, both lost outright in the Sunshine State. Wasn't too sunny study today. All right. We're going to take a little pause from playoff talk because we still have not had one coaching vacancy filled yet, correct?
Nope.
And do we have more? We don't know about Rich Bisaccia here in Las Vegas. We don't know about Mike McCarthy in Dallas, so we could potentially see more. But a lot of guys getting interviews around the league, but no job has been filled just yet. So what is your take so far on where we stand in this whole coaching carousel, which is hasn't been a carousel yet?
Here's what's started to happen in the National Football League, and this started about 2 years ago. And as I talk to people around the league, they're very aware of it. And I think it's something that the NFL really needs to get under control. The owners, the teams, use a head coaching vacancy as an opportunity just to gather as much information from future or current opponents as possible. So that's why you see all these guys who you've never really even heard of getting interviewed for head coaching jobs. Okay, let's come over. Let's interview these two guys and see if we can figure out, you know, what Green Bay does at the line of scrimmage. Like, what's their audible system like? Like, how do they process it? Is the O-line communicating this? Is Rodgers? And it's really turned into something that's not spearheaded by, okay, these are the viable candidates. Let's actually figure out which one of them is the best fit for us with our current roster and make a decision and move forward. Like when you see some of these guys getting interviewed, come on, that's how the Giants ended up with Joe Judge. That's the worst thing that happens is you get greedy as an organization, you're trying to film all these sessions and get this information, then you fall in love with a guy who's not ready to be a head coach, and all of a sudden 3 years later, you just wasted 3 years of resources, money, player.
Got to buy him out.
Right, like, come on, man. It's getting ridiculous.
Well,
like,
look at David Culley, for instance. I mean, he's going to walk away with $22 million for 1 year of coaching.
Like, can we agree that the guys or the people that own NFL teams, because it's more than just men, are extremely brilliant?
Well, they had to do something well.
They don't generally fire someone unless they have an idea of someone better that they can hire in their place. So think about when these firings started and occurred. And come on, we haven't had one job filled yet.
Yeah, I don't.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. I'm just telling you.
It felt like, in recent years, it happened so fast, and now we've had all these openings, and, you know, there might be some coaches they're waiting for.
Well, there have been some position coaches that have gotten interviewed for head jobs. Like, come on. Really?
It has been bizarre to see. Didn't Hines Ward get an interview with the Texans? Isn't he coaching, like, wide receivers in the FCS or something like that?
He's at FAU with Willie Taggart. Like, come on, man. Like,
what do you think it was like when he got that call? He's like, you want me to interview for the wide receivers job?
No offense.
No, it's not a knock, but he's a wide receivers coach at FAU.
It enhances the point. Like, yeah, the quarterback coach at Green Bay got interviewed by, I think, the Broncos. Like, come on, man. Not the OC, not the DC, the QB coach. He's not even been an OC yet.
I don't want to hit this on the other side of the break. Should the Cowboys make a move at head coach?
They should fire everybody. Where is that team going? They got one of the highest payrolls in the NFL.
They sure do.
Jeez.
So
you can't say he's not paying you.
Yeah, no, that is for sure. So we will see the Blue Devils go down tonight. Florida State stunner against Sean's Dukies in overtime. 13 straight. The Florida State Seminoles in overtime. It's the Nightcap.
This is the Nightcap on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
VSiN has a new offer, and it's great to help you make this your best betting year ever. Our all-new Big Game Big Dance Special provides VSiN plus all access to everything we do from now through April 5th for only $69. Sign up now and get our daily best bet emails, 24/7 video access, the upcoming big game and college hoops betting guides, plus full access to VSiN.com with our exclusive betting split breakdowns on every game. It's one of the most exciting betting seasons of the year. You don't want to miss out. One of the best deals either. Visit VSiN.com/bigdeal to sign up today. It is the nightcap here on VSiN. We'll have Eric Eager from Pro Football Focus joining us at the top of the hour. In case you missed it, Florida State has a 5.5-point home dog. Let the lead slip out of their fingertips against the Blue Devils, but ultimately got it back, forced overtime, and Florida State wins in overtime against Duke 79-78. A very nice win for Florida State. Sean couldn't bear to talk about it more, so he had to, you know, step out and cry a little bit. He'll be back for our next segment. But Florida State gets it done. Very nice win to wrap up the college basketball evening. We still have one more game going on, but that is out in the Mountain West. Utah State, as a road dog, is up 16 over Fresno State right now. Light night in the NBA, only just two games out there, as Minnesota came back to beat New York, which is great for the underplay on New York wins at 43 here at Circa. Thank you, JVT, as we will try to wish that one home. By the way, JVT does a great job of keeping you updated on where you are to clinch either an over bet. Let's say you bet over on Cleveland, you're feeling pretty good there. Or an under bet, bet under on the Lakers, you're also feeling pretty good. I believe the Lakers are 9 losses away from clinching the under. It's January 18th. The Warriors right now taking it to the Detroit Pistons, as that one's sitting at 83-63. And Steph Curry in that one as 18 points, already 4 threes. Klay Thompson, 19 points in that one as well. They went off as 15.5-point home favorites, and they are up right now by 20. So once again, Minnesota did get the win, didn't get the cover, though. They closed as 4-point road favorites over the New York Knicks. So Eric Eager going to join us at the top of the hour. You know, taking a look at where we stand right now, divisional round weekend, we spent a lot of time on the Packers and 49ers just because of the uncertainty that is around the 49ers. And this Jimmy Garoppolo news is fascinating to me. I don't know if it's being, you know, coy, possum, whatever it is for Kyle Shanahan. We know Kyle Shanahan always keeps things close to the vest, but this number ticked up just a hair today to 6. But if Jimmy Garoppolo is not playing, this thing is headed towards 8, 9. Does it get the double figures? I don't know if we'll even know. Maybe we get reports later. But, you know, you think about Nick Bosa dealing with a concussion. Is he going to be able to play? Fred Warner expected to play, but another big loss. And the Packers, you know, something we were looking at with the Packers is, you know, where will they ultimately, you know, stub their toe? Will they get all the way to the Super Bowl? Will they win the Super Bowl? Next round, obviously, whether it be Tampa Bay or Los Angeles, I think their matchup against Los Angeles, even though Cam Akers looked phenomenal, you have to like their matchup against Los Angeles just because we saw it last year and they took advantage and really bullied the Los Angeles Rams. This was the matchup that I worried most for Green Bay. If you had had a Green Bay future, was this really ground and pound type of rushing attack led by the San Francisco 49ers. But, you know, if you're going to be missing pieces, and then you look on the left side of the line there, is David Bakhtiari going to be fully healthy? We talked to John Kuhn about it, and he seemed a bit concerned about David Bakhtiari and the performance that we saw against the Detroit Lions. Only played the first half. Was it fatigue setting in, or was it just, let's just get him out of there, load management style? You know, what can we expect from David Bakhtiari on the left side of the line? You know, once again, the rest of the line is getting healthier. Jaire Alexander anticipated back. You know, John Kuhn letting us know that Za'Darius Smith, he felt like looked tremendous so far in practice. So that's a, you know, a big coup and a big win there for the Green Bay Packers. But, you know, where is this line going to ultimately close? Opens 5.5 and now sitting at 6. And I know everyone tries to find teasers in the playoffs, and it's a lot harder now to do. And usually when you're teasing something, you want to have it north of 7 so you get through all those key numbers. But you can get the Packers down to a pick in this situation, and do you tease it up with a team like the Bills? The tricky part about the Bills and Chiefs game is that total being as high as that it is. Those points aren't nearly as valuable as some other games across the regular season. I mean, a 54.5 total is pretty astronomical when you think all things considered. But I would say the way that line is moving, what did you see last from the Buffalo Bills and how they're playing? Look, I predicted when we did our, you know, bracket earlier last week about, you know, who would advance where. I think the Bills win this game. However, earlier in the year, the Bills went in there and dominated this one. And usually, as we saw with Georgia and Alabama, we've seen it plenty of other times, you know, do those teams that get the win early on in the year, does the other exact their revenge? The 49ers and Packers played earlier this year in week three. I felt like the Packers really felt like they hit their groove later on in the season and were cruising along. Bills and Chiefs, to me, you know, I haven't placed a bet on this yet, and, you know, we're flashing up the box score of what it was back in week five when Kansas City was in a rut. I mean, look, there are people on our network, on other networks, saying the Chiefs aren't going to make the playoffs, and that just seems silly. There was a great opportunity to buy low on the Kansas City Chiefs, and to me, it was that Raiders game. Because remember this schedule for the Kansas City Chiefs. They get hammered by the Bills. They squeak past Washington. They get crushed by the Titans. I think that was that a Monday nighter? I can't remember. They play a Monday nighter against the Giants at home. They don't cover. They look bad. The Packers don't have Aaron Rodgers when they played. They win 13-7. Late touchdown gets the cover for the Packers. And then it was the ultimate buy low opportunity for Kansas City. And that Week 12 performance, or Week 10 performance, excuse me, against the Raiders feels like when they turn things around. Now, have they completely turned it around? You look at what Buffalo was able to do against New England. I mean, that was almost an immaculate game. I mean, 7 drives, 7 scores, no punts, no field goals. It was incredible to see what they did. And Kansas City, you know, they had a stretch there where the defense was the thing stepping up the most for them. Josh Allen feels like he's playing at a elite level, like what we saw a little bit last year from Josh Allen. And he goes 21-25 against the Patriots. He's running the ball extremely well. And how are the Kansas City Chiefs going to slow him down? Is this something that they are, you know, ready for? Would at 2 or 1.5 the Bills be worth a teaser look? I think a lot of people will be looking to tease them up potentially, but my worry is you're looking at a high total, so it's not as valuable as points to be teasing through. Can you see the Chiefs running away and hiding from the Buffalo Bills? I don't know, man. I mean, I look at the way the Bills defense played against New England. The Micah Hyde play, I feel like, is getting overlooked a little bit. I mean, that Micah Hyde interception changed the entire feeling of that game. Now, look, New England couldn't stop them at any point in the game, but that defensive play from Hyde in the end zone on the Bills or on the Patriots' first drive felt like it completely changed the feeling of that game. So certainly worth a look there. And then, you know, you look at the Rams in Tampa Bay, and it's what have you seen, you know, from them lately? I feel like people are going to lean towards the Rams here because you're getting that feeling of Wirfs and Jensen are a little bit banged up. As we know, they might not practice until later this week. As Sean has said, he is certainly nervous about that. I feel like this is an opportunity to buy the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at a cheap price. I really do. And Tampa Bay down to 2.5 at South Point. That's one of the few 2.5s out there. And as we know, our friends at South Point, they don't juice either side, so they do it -110 both ways. I know it's a bit of a risk, especially with the uncertainty of Wirfs and Jensen. McVay has been great as a head coach, but I got Tom Brady on one side, and I got another quarterback that they don't feel like they're fully trusting. OBJ played tremendous against the Arizona Cardinals. The defensive front looked really strong, but I can get Tampa Bay as a short home favorite against the Rams. Hard to pass up Tampa Bay laying that 2.5. We'll get all the thoughts of Eric Eager when he joins us, and maybe Sean has wiped the tears away from that Duke loss. He'll rejoin us too. It's the Nightcap here on VSiN.